course, we had the sledge hockey on campus, which I got to go to the Canada bronze medal game. They didn't win that game, but it was such a great atmosphere in that building. Looking back now, the Olympics on UBC campus, of course, some great hockey teams played there. We had the amazing sledge hockey tournament. How did that go for UBC, and what benefits, besides just having that stadium built here on campus, do you think that gave the exposure it helped UBC? What kind of future benefits are we getting from the Olympics?
Well, most people know about the arena. Of course, that's a benefit that will be there forever, and it's a beautiful facility. I think, though, that UBC always trying to make itself more known internationally or more recognizable to attract international students and to get up there in the world rankings. I don't think we quite appreciate yet how much hosting the Olympics has had in terms of a positive effect in that regard. I was traveling subsequent to the games in Europe just for a few days, and everywhere I went, when people found out it was from UBC, said, well, you hosted the Olympics. So it was really out there. A lot of people watched the Olympics. The UBC facility was mentioned many, many times. It was a beautiful facility, had no problems. And so I think in terms of being a host, I think Canada for sure did such a great job in hosting the Olympics in general, but UBC being part of that hosting group was really really benefited from it as well.
And it went pretty smooth having the Olympics run on campus. No problems took place?
I think the Olympics themselves had a two-week shutdown, so there weren't a lot of people on campus, and so that didn't really cause a problem. There were two games a day, and they were spaced, so the crowds left, and a new crowd came, and a lot of people came by transit. During the Paralympic Games, it was a little more problematic because school was in, and the crowds were, I'm not sure if people thought that the crowds would be as big as they were for the Paralympic sledge hockey games, but certainly people thought that they'd be big crowds for Canada, but I think it was very well attended. But nobody, I didn't hear any complaints. Everybody seemed to manage quite well.
And what was the reaction? And I'd really like to know the NHL players' reaction. Or I shouldn't say NHL players, but, you know, Czechoslovakia, and I believe it was Czech Republic, I'm sorry, in Finland, of course, had an elimination game here on the campus. What was the reaction of the players and really the teams playing in this tournament with respect to the building and the ice surface?
The only one I heard was from the women's team from the United States, and they were kind of disappointed they were moving to GM Place. They liked it so much. I didn't hear anything negative, and that's usually pretty good. I was over on the other side with some of the people from the IIHF, and everybody just spoke in glowing terms of the facility itself and the way the facility was managed. And of course, a lot of that has to do with, there were some UBC staff obviously involved, but the people assigned from Vanock to work UBC also were very good, and I think there was a great relationship. So the ice held up. Everything was really, from that point of view, I mean, brand new dressing rooms. I think everybody got treated very well here. So I certainly didn't hear anything negative from any of the teams, but I heard a lot of positive things from people in the IIHF.
Right. So what I was worried about going, say, about a year and a half, Bob, when I was watching some UBC hockey games here, I was a little disturbed that you guys had some trouble with that ice when this building first got underway, but you got everything settled by the time the games came here, hey?
That's why the rink opened a year in advance. There were, of course, some issues. We had some problems initially with the electronic Olympia machine as well. As you know, that became a problem in Richmond. And so we got ours ironed out, and we had no problems with it during the games. And as you said, there were some issues early on with the plant and the lighting, and that all got resolved as it went along. I think you're thinking of the opening night that the Thunderbird men played, where we had a little bit of water on the ice in the third period, which, if I remember correctly, helped us because we were up a couple of goals.
Bob, moving along to your sports teams this year, you got to talk about the women's volleyball team. I think you got to say it's a bit of a dynasty, if not just a flat-out dynasty. Three straight national championships. They did not lose a game all year long, playoffs, regular season included. What an achievement for Doug Reimer and the women's volleyball team, winning their third straight national title.
Well, actually, it's quite timely because Teresa and I took the team out for dinner last night, which is kind of become a tradition if a team wins, and that's 3 years in a row, as you said, for those guys. But, you know, if you take a look at the quality of a program, it's not just about a team stepping up and winning 3 years in a row. That's a team that has been there many, many times. I think they've been there 14 times in the last 15 years, won three, and there were 11 times when they went in there maybe not always expecting to win the Nationals, but certainly over the over that 11-year period, there were three or four or five times that they were the favorites and didn't win. And I think 3 years ago, they weren't the favorites and they did. So you're right. There's a lot of things that have to go into fall into place to have an undefeated season, as you know. And then we've had teams go undefeated before and then get to the Nationals and not win. So there's a lot more pressure when you go in rank one, and there's a lot more pressure when someone wants to knock you off. And there are some quality teams like Manitoba. There were some really good games. The Canada West final could have gone either way, even though we jumped out ahead 2-0. We had to hang on to win by in five. And I think it was quite a dominating performance, though, this year at the Nationals. I know Manitoba challenged in game three of that final set or final game, but UBC winning 3-1, and it was probably the most decisive win of the last three.
Yeah, and it's actually rather interesting. You mentioned the great run they've had going to the national championships. 4 years ago, just before this three straight happened, was the year they actually didn't make it to nationals. So
yeah, it's kind of funny because they had gone 11 years in a row and then didn't go. And then, like you said, the year they did go, the next year they went. They won, so they're almost on a roll now. Every year since they didn't go that 1 year, every year they've gone since they've won. So, and women's basketball got into that kind of groove where they were winning every second year. They would win the Nationals and then not get there. So there's something about getting there and winning. But a lot of our teams have been there and come up empty, and it's really tough when you get into all those sudden death games. Look what's happening in the NCAA playoffs right now. It's not always the best teams that make it to the Final Four.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about some men's basketball right now. You mentioned undefeated seasons, not getting it done at the Nationals. That's what your men's basketball team did a few years back. But 2 years in a row now, the UBC men's basketball team has made it to the CIS championship game. 2 years in a row, they have fallen short. 7 of the last 8 years, they've made it to Nationals. No national titles to show for that. You mentioned the women's volleyball team's gone through that. They then won 3 in a row. But this men's basketball team, you know, I talked to Blaine LeBranch, a player on that team today, saw Kevin Hansen, the head coach, Randy Nord, the assistant coach. He'll be on with us later. They're still thinking about that loss, Bob.
It's kind of ironic when you mention the men's basketball team's performance in the last 2 years losing in the final game. I think the only game we haven't lost is the second game. We either lose in the first game. If we can win the first one, we win that second one, and then whatever we do, we want to make sure we do the right decision, and so, we want to make sure we have all the issues before we do that.
So, Bob, you and President Toop are going to meet at the end of April to discuss an update right now?
I'm saying the last time we met, we said he was meeting with his counterparts in the CIS because they had asked to do that, and he agreed to do that. We haven't met since to discuss that. He was away, and so was I. So I'll see him a couple of times this month, but we had said before that sometime in April will be an appropriate time to sit down and take stock of where we are. We're also conscious of the fact that there is not a June 1st deadline this year, which is a drop-dead deadline. There's June 1st this year, there's December, and then there's subsequent Decembers. So, you know, I think there was an artificial anticipation or an artificial target that first year of December, of June 1st that year. There's a long window of opportunity. We just want to make sure we do it right. I know we've been getting calls from the conference that would like us to let them know when we're planning to come. And we're also conscious of the fact that, like Simon Fraser got caught unaware by being forced out earlier than they wanted to, and a number of their athletes lost the year of eligibility that they thought they were going to have. We're trying to minimize. If we go, we're trying to minimize that. So there are a few issues that need to be resolved. But most importantly, at some time during April, I'm confident that we'll be in a position to at least know what path we're going to go down, or at least know when we're going to make that decision.
Yeah, Bob, of course the media report, and I just want to get an official update right now. Of course the media report came out last April, I believe, UBC issued a report. The two big issues that were mentioned in that report were dual citizenship in the CIS and NCAA, if that was a possibility. From what I've been told, I believe by you, that has been completely kiboshed. The CIS has said that if you go NCAA, you cannot also be in the CIS. And the other one was, it was the whole getting academic accreditation in the United States. Can you give us an update on that one? Can you talk about those two subjects?
Well, those are accurate. There are two issues that we identified, and I know the university, not through athletics, but the issue of academics is something the university has been looking at. There are some benefits to having academic accreditation in the United States that are not just related to athletics, and I know Simon Fraser sent out a press release to that effect that they needed to do it for athletics, but it was something they wanted to do anyway. And so I think that the university will take a look at that. I would like to think that if we decided to go to the NCAA, that there would be other benefits to the university for doing that, as opposed, not just so that the sports teams could go there. With respect to dual membership, it was kind of something that just got out there because at the time the NCAA said that they would support dual memberships in Canada. CIS's reaction was, well, maybe we wouldn't allow that. And I think the CIS reaction was based on, if we do that, if UBC or Simon Fraser or anybody else is thinking that they can have it both ways, we will try and block that to force them to stay in Canada. It was really never the intention of UBC Athletics Department, anyway, to stay in Canada in some sports, because we were philosophically looking at issues that we wanted to go into the United States with, and most of our sports at the time could have been accommodated in the United States. But we did say that where it made sense, if the option was there, where it made sense to stay in Canada in certain sports, that we would certainly have considered that. And at the end of the day, that might have been the best option. But that rule was passed last June and comes into effect, I believe, in 2012. And it'll affect, if we're still doing what we're doing right now, it will affect NAIA sports. It's not just an NCAA thing.
Oh, wow.
It's an NAIA issue as well.
So the men's baseball team.
Well, it wouldn't affect baseball, softball, or track and field, because those sports are not offered in the CIS.
Okay.
Track and field indoor is offered, but not outdoor. Baseball and softball aren't offered. It would affect cross-country, and it wouldn't affect golf. So cross-country would be the only one. But where it would be problematic for those sports is if the NAIA and the NCAA merged, then, of course, you couldn't still play, because the NCAA wouldn't let you play in those sports unless you joined the NCAA.
Just a couple more questions here, Bob. Thanks so much. But this NCAA, you know, I mean, we're in the UBC offseason right now, so this really is the time to approach it.
Well, you should tell baseball that, because they're pretty busy.
I was going to say that.
And softball and golf. And track and field. Still got a few things going on. Call me in June. We'll be done then.
There you go. Less sports to cover. Can you give me that one at least?
Less sports to cover?
Right now, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Bob, can you confirm that you are going to be CIS for at least the next two seasons, two more years coming up?
Well, certainly it's our intention to be in the NCAA, in the CIS. It, no matter what happens, if you're just asking athletics what it's intending to do, we intend to be in Canada West and CIS in the next 2 years. And in fact, when we go to the meetings in May, we would be committing for the next 2 years unless there's some thing that happens between now and then that stops us from doing that. Now, of course, what happened to Simon Fraser is they did go and commit for 2 years, but then when they were accepted in the NCAA, the Canada West kicked them out in their second year. So whether that would apply to us, I mean, Simon Fraser's background is different from UBC, so I can't say that we'd be treated the same way, but it's our intent. Because we're asked to commit 2 years at a time, it's our intention when we go to the May meeting to commit for 2 years.
Okay. And lastly, you mentioned that the conference has, in the NCAA Division II, I'm assuming, has asked you your update. If you went NCAA Division II, though, you mentioned, of course, that the men's volleyball team and men's hockey team would be going NCAA Division I. Any update on if you have a conference to join if you go NCAA with regards to the men's hockey team and the men's volleyball team?
There were a couple of issues that we had to look at. We've had some people looking at it on our behalf, and we've been to the we went to the NCAA meetings in January, and we were concerned because Division I is making some changes, and that the changes would prohibit schools from playing up, Division II schools from playing up in the one men's and one women's sport that they currently can. But our understanding of what we were told from Division I at that meeting is that that would not apply to sports not offered in Division II. Therefore, men's hockey and women's hockey would be eligible to compete in Division I. Now, that doesn't automatically mean you'd find a conference. You have to still do that, but it wouldn't be blocked. In terms of men's volleyball is unique in that it's only offered there's no division that takes precedence in it, and it's open to schools in any division. Most of the schools are Division I, but there are some Division II schools there. So men's volleyball, we would apply. We've talked to a conference, and we would probably get in the conference at some point, but if we didn't, then we would play an independent schedule against these same teams and be eligible for the Nationals. So men's volleyball, we never really thought there was a problem in men's volleyball. We did think there might have been a problem in hockey. We think that's resolved.
Have you spoke to a conference about joining in?
We've had discussions with many conferences, but most of them come back and say to us, we can't really talk to you any length until you've applied to the NCAA.
Yeah.
And so there are some things that will happen if we apply that will get resolved. We think now will get resolved. They're certainly able to be resolved.
Can you give me what the conference you think you would join? Can you give me that?
The conference we're talking to, well, you're talking about
men's hockey.
Two? Oh, men's hockey. Well, there's only two that would be possible unless there's some other changes, would be the Western League or the Central League. And there's a couple of other schools right now, like Bemidji State and further to the south, Alabama Huntsville, which is really out there, looking to join. Right now, the two Alaska schools, which we have more in common with probably than anybody, play in each one plays in a conference. And the reason for that is because the teams didn't want to have to go up there twice because they play double headers all the time. So there's probably some work that we could do. If we're playing in GNAC, we know that Alaska's members of GNAC and would probably help us with our hockey program. We've had a lot of people say that if we apply, they'll help us find a home for hockey.
Okay, there you go. Bob Phillip, the athletic director. Bob, this has been going on for a while now, and are we expecting at least with the NCAA in the next year?
I was thinking I was pretty young when this all started. You know, it's hard to imagine, but when Teresa and I were at the NCAA meeting when the rule got approved, and the vote was 250-9, it was kind of euphoric, and everybody, all the media, New York Times and USA Today, and everybody kind of popped out and were all over us about this, and we kind of thought that was cool at the time, and we didn't realize that it was the beginning of a rather long saga, but a lot of things have changed since then, and like I said at the outset, it's about doing the right thing. You can ask me what I think is the right thing, but you know, ultimately, we're part of UBC, and at the end of the day, the university has to determine what it's the right thing to do, and I'll guarantee you, no matter what happens, the president will be comfortable in saying that due diligence was done, and I think that's really important moving forward. Because, look, I've lived in B.C. 18 years now, and I've learned one thing. I come from Quebec where we had our own issues about what was right and what was wrong or up and down, but there is probably nothing you could ever do or say that's going to get everybody on side. So you've got to make sure that you do the right thing and you've got rationale to defend your position.
I love it, Bob, though. I'm trying my hardest to figure out what's going on here, and it's a struggle.
You know what? In the media, but you guys, first of all, we've given you some additional stuff to talk about, and that's been good. But, you know, it's a time when there's options that are available now that haven't been there before. And looking at things from an international point of view aren't that bad anymore. I mean, we're a multicultural society. We still know there's 4,000 student-athletes playing down in the States, many in Division I, a lot now in Division II. We know CIS has identified scholarships as the main reason they go, and CIS is also saying they want to be the number one destination. So I'm looking at that saying, you know, hello, start connecting some dots in Canada. And I think at the end of the day, no matter what happens, it's going to be better for Canadian student-athletes, whether they can play at UBC and SFU or any other school and play in the NCAA, or whether things just get better in Canada for them. And at the end of the day, that's what this is really all about.
Good stuff. Bob Phillip, the athletic director. Bob, thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome, Darryl. Always a pleasure.
There you go. Talk to you soon. Thanks again, Bob.
Bye.
All right, that was the athletic director, Bob Phillip, of the University of British Columbia. I tell you, this NCAA thing, I'll call him again in a month when he's going to be talking to President Toop, and we'll try to get an update for you. It is just wild. We're going to get into it more in a half hour when our CATR's own Jeff Sargent comes on with us. But I put some calls in to try to get an interview with President Toop. Actually got denied. I actually got denied for that interview, trying to get an update on what's going on. Apparently, what I did gather from them is really that they're going to have a... We're hoping it's going to happen in the next year. We're going to figure out what's going on. It's going to be the president and the vice presidents. The executive committee here at UBC are going to make the decision. It's going to be about 6 or 7 people making this call. So the beat goes on. It was Bob Phillip, the athletic director, of course, talking about the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. We're really going to be getting into them next week as they just won their third straight national title. We're going to try to dedicate as much of next week's show as we can to the now 3-time defending champion UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. Well, we also mentioned in the interview with Bob Phillip, Randy Knorr, the assistant, where we talked about the men's basketball team. Randy Knorr, the assistant coach of that team, is going to be with us right after the break. For the second time in 2 years, they have lost in the CIS championship final. 7 times in the last 8 years, they have made the CIS championship final tournament. They've yet to win the national title. Randy Knorr, who actually won 2 championships as a player with Sane FX, will be with us right after the break. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM.
to kind of wake us up to try hard. And, I mean, when you play against good teams, it's just difficult to do. I mean, even at Nationals, to a certain degree, our first game, we went into halftime down 6, playing poorly. We come out after half and did what we had done all year. You know, we 20-2 run, and all of a sudden,